You were on the selection committee, selecting the cadets who were permitted into the unit.
Yes.
And I wonder, what usually, in your view, would determine whether or not a student should be accepted?
Well, as I think you're aware, we were, and it depended a little on timing. In the early days, you know, there was virtually no limit on who we could take in what trade, but very quickly we got into a quota concept where RCF headquarters would look to UBC for, you know, 5 admin, 4 supply, 8 engineers, whatever it might be. And the recruitment into those branches would be dictated to some extent by the education the guy was going through. The 4 accounts officers, you're looking at a commerce student by and large, although not necessarily so. And when we had the aircrew training, it didn't matter where they came from, or if they were ROTP aircrew, it didn't matter what faculty they came from, although we probably leaned a little in the direction of science and engineering. That's hard to tell right now. So your parameters, again, were narrowed down somewhat for purposes of selection. And you might get, and then the ladies, of course, were really a total number, and but broken down again into certain trades. For example, you're going to take a dietitian, she's got to come from home economics, that's all there is to it. And if you had 4 applicants and 2 slots, well, then you'd have a choice problem, which was often a very invidious one to make, because very often all would be perfectly acceptable when you're laboring around on your best judgment to decide who's going to fit in best. And again, no doubt we made mistakes, but still you do your best.
Yeah. I suppose sometimes you had a kind of a lopsided situation because maybe you simply wouldn't be able to get recruits who would, enough recruits to fill a certain field, and yet in other areas you probably would have had a surplus.
Well, then you could go shopping back to headquarters to see how some other units were making out. You might do some trading around within the total quota system for
the whole
country. Uh-huh. But usually they suffered from the same surpluses in the same areas as you did. Uh-huh. We were assigned a number of years, for example, a quota for a padre. That's a guy taking theological training. Well, I must confess we didn't have great success in that area. A couple good ones, but I remember one of them got bothered by the idea of military service and quit on me. And I had some difficulty explaining to him my view of the compatibility between serving in the service in that capacity and serving anywhere else in that capacity, and I got kind of discouraged with padres, and we had a couple of years where that quota was unfilled.
I see. I'm wondering, you have these people who would be enrolled in these various categories, and was there anything in their training during the year which would have reflected their category?
Well, if I appreciate your question correctly, it can't be it, because the obvious one is yes, if a guy's been aeronautical engineering, he's taking engineering at UBC. Do you mean anything he took in the course of his military training?
I'm talking about the parades. In the military training, with the unit,
by and large, during the winters, no.
Oh.
We were focusing on general officer capability or development.
Yes.
We didn't have technical facilities for technical training, nor did we have the capacity to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Again, as I say, even throughout, we preferred the general to the special, exploiting the talent available from this university community to develop their interest and an awareness of world politics, affairs, why the service existed, where it might be deployed, why it was deployed where it was, appreciation of NATO, for example, and Canadian commitment to it, and that sort of thing, where the service was active.
Uh-huh. Was there any, going back to selecting, did you ever try to determine if the student seemed serious and would likely join the regular services or the reserves after training? Was there bias in that direction on you?
The principal thing I think that probably concerned us as a very practical matter was an estimate of his academic ability. Because the service, particularly later rather than earlier, had a tendency to depart from the commanding officer's recommendation. It's the old centralization bit. And some staff officer in Ottawa would say, well, this guy's failing academically, ergo we should throw him out. well, he might be failing academically for a variety of reasons and still be a good service officer, and I used to get in some battles with all of them about that. Or I might agree, but by and large we avoided that trouble by looking at the person's academic record and potential probably first of all. And then secondly, you tried to, I think, form an opinion of the kind of character he was. And I used to be influenced, and perhaps that's because of personal experience, by his previous employment record. Was he helping himself along through life? You know, the kid had a paper route and worked, saved his dough and worked some summers, or a girl did and was getting some help where she could, he or she could, to finance university. That's the kind of character you're looking for, somebody who has demonstrated capability of some degree of independence at any rate. And then you'd generally, I was interested in their athletic activities.